Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still thrilled because we are still in the book of Ezekiel. We will be there for a while, because I have written 98 instructions for the 48 chapters that it's in the book. And we know that this study will expound upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet, scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. The ones that haven't are still yet looming against Israel today, more especially those pertaining to the end of time. As also revealed in the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, as some call him, or the Apostle St. John the Divine. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Our host has provided a chat room where you can go in there and we can have dialogue one with another. Now, before we get started, as I always like to do, I must personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. That's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Now, the promise is that you're going to have treasure in heaven if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said again, and he looked and round about him on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. This is taken from Mark chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. Now, the key to this, my brothers and sisters, is that if you do the will of the Father through the Son, you are part of the family. Jesus said again, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. This is taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. So the promise is that you're going to have what you need. In fact, it's going to be provided for you if you do the will of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I say to you, my precious brothers and sisters, the question for this hour is, again, are you standing on Jesus' promises? Now, before we get started, I want to reassure you and illuminate, or I should say remind you, that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we are studying together with one another this evening, and hopefully we'll get good learning from it. Now, let's go to the study. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 16, and we're going to be taking these verses from Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20 through 22. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20 through 22. Now, this is what I want you, my brothers and sisters, to keep in mind and pay attention to as I read the text to you. This is the instruction. Israel sacrificed God's children to idols. Now, this is what happened in the days of Ezekiel and before Ezekiel. This is so significant, and we're going to see the comparison and the agreement to this when we get to the New Testament. But this is what I want you to keep in mind. Israel actually sacrificed God's children to idols, and this is what Ezekiel said about that. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and thus hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredom a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? And in all thy abominations and thy whoredom, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy own blood. This is what Ezekiel is prophesying to Israel because of what they're doing. And this is so significant. It's happening again during the Babylonian captivity that Israel was doing this. Now, what I want to do is just add some emphasis to it, or we're going to go to 2 Kings. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings. We're going to be looking at verse 16, and we're going to look at one verse, or chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. And this is what happened during the reign of this king Ahaz. It says, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years was Ahaz when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem and did that which was right and was not right in the sight of God, like his father David. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathens, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. So Israel was doing this a long time, and they had not broken away from doing this, and it was an abomination in the front, in the sight of God. Now, this is what the New Testament has to say about it, comparing and agreeing. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and before we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I see we're approaching the first break. So let's take the first break, and then we'll return to the instruction.
Everybody could become an expert at anything at a drop of a hat. Would there be any rewards for it? And I think you have the answer even as I ask the question. Got a couple of good buddies. They used to live down in South Alabama. Their names were Bernard Haygood and Jimmy Glenn. One day they're out riding through the South Alabama foothills and they got a little thirsty. Well, Bernard was the driver. He's also the athletic one. So he hopped out of the car. He ran around to this old abandoned pump there in the back of this old farmhouse. And he grabbed the handle of the pump and he started to pump. Now, let me say that when old Bernard grabbed that handle and started to pump, you know, since it was August and brutally hot that day, he was anxious to get some water out. So he really got after it. He was just a pumping away. And after a couple of minutes, he said, Jimmy, you better get that old bucket over there and dip some water out of the creek. He said, we're going to have to prime this pump. All that really means is that you got to put something in here before you can expect to get anything out here. The pump is really saying in another way what we've said so many times, and that is that you gotta be and do before you can have. Too many people stand in front of the stove of life, and they say, stove, now, you give me some heat, and then I'll put some wood in you. So many times the employee goes to the employer and says, now, give me a raise. And when you give me the raise, I'll start coming to work on time. I'll start doing the things you really want me to do. What they're saying is, reward me now, and then later, I'll perform. That's not the way it works. First, you've got to put something in before you can expect to get anything out. Well, old Bernard wanted to drink water. But the question is, just how much pumping are you willing to do in order to get that drink of water? And after a few minutes, he said, Jimmy, I just don't believe there's any water down there. And Jimmy said, yes, it is, Bernard. You know, in South Alabama, the wells are deep. We're glad they are, aren't we? Because, you see, the deeper the well, the cleaner, the sweeter, the purer, the better tasting the water is. And isn't that another lesson the pump can teach us? Isn't it true that those things which have value, I mean real value, are those things which we have to work for over a period of time? Yes, it's absolutely true. That those things which have value, which have real value, are those things which we make that honest effort to acquire. We work at it, and we do a little sweating in the process, and by now, old Bernard is really beginning to sweat. I mean, it's August. It's hot. And finally, he just threw up his hand. He said, Jimmy, there just ain't no water down there. Jimmy said, don't stop, Bernard. Don't stop. If you stop, that water's going to go all the way back down, and then you're going to have to start all over. And isn't that the story of life? Isn't it true that so many people lose out on a lot of effort they've expended in the past because they don't do just a little bit more?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at this instruction. Israel sacrificed God's children to idols. This is so significant. And now we're going to compare and agree with what Israel did then to what Israel was doing when Paul subjected the Corinthians to this scolding. We're going to look at chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 19 through 21, and listen, this is how Paul scolded Israel about similar idolatry. It wasn't exact, but it still had to do with sacrificing and not doing it correctly. This is what Paul said, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So see, this is telling us that there are those that say that They are obedient, but they're not following the rules and the commandments of God. Verse 20 continues when he says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. We're talking about not correctly remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. 21, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And that is what Paul was saying, and this is the significance, that when it is of us to do what God has ordered us to do, we are not to do other than that. And the comparison is that God was not ordering Israel to send their children through the fire for his sake. And that is what Israel was doing. In this instance, we are to take the body and blood of Christ in a certain manner. And of course, they weren't doing that. And that's why Paul was scolding Israel about it. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Remember this, my brothers and sisters. This is the intent, that thou shalt not have any other gods before Yahweh, and thou shalt not kill. So all sacrifices are spiritual and not physical. So today, what we do is a spiritual sacrifice, and it must be according to godliness. That's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Now let's go back to Ezekiel. We're going to look now at Ezekiel chapter 16 again. We're going to take another instruction from Ezekiel chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verse 35 through 39, Ezekiel 35 through 39. And as I read the text to you, now I want you to keep in mind, this is the instruction that I would like to get over to you for understanding. Israel to suffer for their whoredom. Israel is going to suffer because they are using other gods before them. And God is identifying it as whoredom. And so this is what I want you to keep in mind. And this is what Ezekiel said about that when he addressed Israel. Verse 35 says, wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers and with all the idols of thy abominations and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore I will gather all my lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure and all them that has thou hast loved with all them that has thou hated, I will even gather them round about and against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and in jealousy. So that is, in 39 completes the thought by saying, and I will also give thee into thy hands, and they shall throw down thy eminent places and shall break down the high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes and shall take thy fair jewels and have the naked and have thee naked and bare. Now what Israel is being subjected to is they are again having false gods before our original God. And that is what Israel is being subjected to in this prophecy. And I'll tell you, we're going to add to this by going to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I just want to add a little impetus to this to show you where God has already identified this way before Israel was continuing to do it before the Babylonian captivity. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, when Moses was instructing Israel in the desert, he told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, through 49, this is what he said. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he has destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not know and understand. What has happened to Israel is, again, Babylon has come against them because they are doing not what they should be doing. They are disobeying God. Now let's go to the New Testament complement. Let's turn with me, if you will, your books, your Bible sources to Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verse 21 through 23. And listen what God is, or listen what the angel is telling us against the church because of the same. This is what the angel is telling us in verse 21. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all of the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. That is what we're subjected to today, my brothers and sisters. If we are putting anything before the Lord God Almighty, this is going to be the end result of doing that. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we will suffer because of our sins against God. And only through Jesus Christ can we get relief. And that is where we're put today in captivity because of sin. And only through Jesus Christ are we relieved because of that. That's what I want you to get from this, on this particular instruction. Now we're at the second break of the evening. So let's take another break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Hey, John Maxwell here. Today's Word on Minute with Maxwell is grace. It truly is one of my very favorite words. When you think of the word grace, if there's another adjective attached to it, it's the word amazing. And the reason we talk about amazing grace is because grace is amazing. Now, I'm a person of faith, and so when I think of grace, I think about forgiveness. I think of having space in my life to be able, through God's care and grace and kindness, to overcome and to be forgiven. What I would encourage you to do is not only be grateful for the grace that you and I receive, the blessings that we receive in life, but I would encourage you to become a grace giver. Maybe the best thing that I could ever do for you, or that you can do for someone else, is to extend grace to them, to forgive them, to give them another chance, to turn the other cheek, to walk the second mile. I think that there is probably no higher calling than for us to be grace givers to others. And I know this for myself. There have been times I've really messed up. And what I needed more than anything else was not correction. What I didn't need is a lecture. I just needed somebody to say, it's okay. You're forgiven. Let's move on. So today I would encourage you to take this word grace that is truly amazing and extend it to someone else. Make a call that perhaps you haven't made for a while, or get into a conversation perhaps that you haven't had for a while and extend grace. I will promise you, when you are a grace giver, you experience for yourself personally an abundance of grace. I promise you that. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with Ezekiel, the study of Ezekiel. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Ezekiel chapter 16. We're going to take another instruction from chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verse 44 through verse 46. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The proverb, as is the mother, so as the daughter. Now we're going to see where Ezekiel is sent by God to prophesy this to Israel, who is in captivity. As is the mother, so as the daughter. And this is what Ezekiel has to say about it, beginning in verse 46, 44. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against you, Israel, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. That art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. Thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loatheth their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite, and thy elder sister is Samaria. She and her daughters that dwell at that left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her sisters. Now what God is doing, he's prophesying against Israel. And remember that Israel now is made up of 10 different tribes, not all 12. And Judah is made up of the other two. And we know that Israel went into dispatch through the Assyrians, and now the other two tribes are going in to captivity in Babylon. And so that is why the proverb is saying, as is the mother, so as the daughter. Now let's find out from looking at Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 3 and see how this is even emphasized way before the tribes of Israel was even identified. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 19. And this is what God did in the book of Genesis in the beginning of time. This is what God did. It says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles also shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Now this is what's so significant about that curse that God put on. You know, the first curse, or before that curse, he put it on woman. So in this instance, that proverb, as is the mother, so as the daughter, Eve disobeyed God and was cursed. And she caused Adam to disobey God, and he was cursed. So that is a carryover, and I just wanted you to get that extra information on that. Now turn with me, if you will, to our New Testament complement. Turn your Bible sources with me to John chapter 8. This is what the comparison and the agreement is in that proverb, John chapter 8, verse 42. Through 49 or 44, and this is Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my words? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That is the proverb that we're looking at today. As is the mother, so as the daughter. Jesus is saying that God Almighty is not your father because you do not listen to the Lord God Almighty. The devil is your father, and you stem from the devil, and you will act just like the devil. And that is what Jesus is telling us in this comparison. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we become like who we follow. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? We become like who we follow. And that's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Now, turn back with me, if you will, again. We're going to take another instruction from chapter 16 of Ezekiel. Turn back your Bible sources with me to Ezekiel chapter 16. We're going to look at a few more verses, 42, 43, and 59 through 61, and we're going to see what other prophecy was cited against Israel for their disobedience to God. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, because this is the citation. God's wrath will not be forever. That is something that we should take to heart. And we know because of Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. And that is something that is so significant to us. And this is what Ezekiel prophesied to Israel while they're in captivity, that God's wrath will not be forever. And that is identified directly to those who are the remnant that are trying to be in God's favor, which the majority of Israel was not. And this is what Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 42 says. It says, "So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet and will be no more angry, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore I also will recompense thy ways upon thy head, saith the Lord God. And thou shall not commit this lewdness above all thy abominations." So Israel is being told that this is not going to last forever against them. And verse 59 through 63 completes the thought. And this is what Ezekiel continues to tell Israel. "For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which has despised an oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then shalt thou remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thy elder and thy younger, and I will give unto them that flee from their daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God." So what God has done, he's telling the remnant that you hold fast and you will receive a reprieve. Now, before we continue, I see we're at another break. Let's take this break, and then we will continue.
Don't watch the wind. Everybody put that in the comment. Don't watch the wind. Because that's what Peter did when he was transcending something that should have caused him to drown, the water. And he was dealing with elements that should have knocked him off his feet. The wind was powerful enough to cause the entire ocean to rock. It wasn't powerful enough to knock Peter down until he watched it. until he put his eyes on it, until he put his focus on it. And man, there's nothing that I believe more strongly than this, that faith and fear are both a product of your focus. And you can choose either one in any moment of your life. And so when we watch the wind and we spend all day just checking stuff that is constantly reinforcing our anxiety and forecasting uncertainty in our future, every once in a while, we've got to take control of our focus. And I just want to make sure you remember that the news is meant to be checked, not watched. The facts are not the ultimate reality for us as people of faith. They're important. Oh yeah, they're important. Like the facts right now concerning this virus, they're supremely important. But I want to know if you believe there's a deeper reality than that that governs your life. Like the hand of God is on you and your family. And I'm just believing for your peace tonight. But don't watch the wind. It wasn't the wind that knocked Peter down. It was the fact that he watched it. It says when he saw the wind. Check it out in Matthew 14. When he saw the wind, he began to sink. It's what you watch. And it's what you focus on. And just remember, you can control that.
I was so
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with this particular instruction, number 32. And of course, God's wrath will not be forever. That is the focus. That's what I want you to keep in mind. And I already read what Ezekiel prophesied against Israel that was in captivity. He was making sure that they knew that those that were still obedient and not disobeying God would get out of this. Now I want to just share or emphasize that when Isaiah was talking to Israel, this is what he prophesied in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 and 8. And this is critical, my brothers and sisters. The reason I think it's critical is because Isaiah said it even more poignantly, all right? This is what Isaiah said in chapter 54 of his book, verse 7 and 8. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That you're going to suffer the consequences of your guilt, but the mercy of God is going to be there to retrieve you. And this is the completing thought in verse 8. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. My God, this is so significant, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah is telling Israel that God is going to be angry, but his wrath will not last forever. And we have to stay the course. We have to be obedient as we can to receive the benefit of that. Now, let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go turn with me to James chapter 3, and this is going to even add more impetus or be more poignant, if you will. James is writing to the apostles or writing to the disciples, and this is what he says in chapter 2, verse 13 of his writing. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. But listen, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. There it is, my precious brothers and sisters, that mercy, the mercy of God endures forever. That's why we must be merciful to one another. Remember, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So we must always realize that God will not hold his wrath forever, but we must work our way through it. That's why Paul says, Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And David the psalmist, he says that we should fear God and tremble and serve him with that fear and receive the merciful benefits from that in Psalms chapter 2. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. This is what I'm trying to get to you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that God desires that all humanity be saved, so his mercy endures forever. And as Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says that God is long-suffering towards us because he wants all of us to be saved. He wants us all to come unto salvation through repentance. And so this is something that's very significant. And as long as we are faithful and repentant, we will receive the salvation that we should desire, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go now to instruction number 17. We're going to look at instruction number 17. We're going to read Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 1 through 18. And the reason that it is lengthy is because this here is going to be the instruction. And I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. This is the instruction, the riddle of the eagle and the cedar. That is what I want you to keep in mind. And this is what a riddle poses. A riddle is a question or statement intentionally phrased so as to require ingenuity in ascertaining the answer or meaning, typically are presented as a game. Now, this riddle is what God has posed to Israel. And, of course, I mentioned that the Bible has riddles in it, and it is for those who seek him to understand it. Those who do not seek him will not understand it. And this is the riddle of the eagle and the cedar. And this is what Ezekiel told to Israel. And this is what he said. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had diver colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of the young twigs and carried it to a land of traffic, and he set it into a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. Now, that's Israel. God is the one that did that for Israel, and it grew. It became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned towards him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and short twigs or sprigs. Now this was Israel obeying the Lord God Almighty, obeying Yahweh and worshiping him. And there was another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots towards him and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a great soil by waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bring fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. So thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof, and cut off the vine thereof, with it that it withers? It shall wither in all the leaves of her sprigs, even without great power of many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Remember, Israel and Judah split, and that's where the split caused the riddle to go against Israel and Judah. Verse 18 continues, Yea, behold, being planted, it shall prosper. Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grows. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him into captivity, and hath taken the king's seat, and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. And he hath also taken the mighty of the land, that the king might be based, that it might not lift itself up, keeping the covenant of God. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that he might give him horses and people. So he prospered, said he, to escape thus to do these things, or shall break the covenant and be delivered out of it. As I say, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he break, even him in the midst of Babylon shall die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war for casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons. And he concluded with 18, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given him hand and had done all these things, he shall not escape. And that's what happened in the Babylonian captivity. And I see we're at another break, the final break of the evening. Let's take this break, and then we will conclude with the lesson.
Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience means to comply with the law, an order or request, or to submit to another's authority, while sacrifice means to give up something that is precious or a jewel, something that you believe is worthy. But what we do in this world is sometimes we misunderstand that a sacrifice is not the same as being obedient. See, if we were obedient to the process of achieving a goal, see, if we were obedient to the process of being who we need to be, it would have never been viewed as a sacrifice, and confusion would have never taken place. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And when you're being obedient to what you need to be obedient to, whether that's being obedient to your school, being obedient to obtaining success, being obedient to achieving your goal, when you understand that you're being obedient, you're not sacrificing, what you're doing is you're releasing the notion to become a voluntary victim. You see, people who think that they sacrifice, what they tend to do is they tend to believe that they're giving up time with their family, that they're giving up sleep. But it's simply you following the blueprint of what you said you wanted to do. See, when you submit to another's authority, that's being obedient. See, for me, I want to be obedient to success, and success requires me to do certain things. It means that I have to stay up late. It means that sometimes I don't get to sleep as much as I want. I don't get to spend time with the people who I always want to spend time with, but I am not sacrificing. I am being obedient to the process. And you have to be obedient to the process. And before you start to become that volunteer victim that we talked about, understand that you are simply being obedient and you're not sacrificing. There's only been one sacrifice that's ever been made to us here on earth, and that sacrifice came from the Savior. There's nothing that you can ever do to outweigh that sacrifice. And when you understand that that sacrifice that was made for you, obedience is something that you instead, you follow.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us conclude this particular instruction. We're looking at the riddle of the eagle and the cedar, and we've already read what Ezekiel prophesied in the riddle to Israel, and this, again, A riddle is a question or statement intentionally phrased so as to require ingenuity in ascertaining its answer or meaning, and typically it is presented as a game. So this is what Israel was confronted with, and those who weren't obedient could not understand it, and they were subjected to it. And just to show how riddles are throughout the Bible, turn with me, if you will, to Judges chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 12 through 14. We're going to look at what Samson did in a riddle in his time frame. Judges chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. This is what it says. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. But if you cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And this is what Samson said. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And so again, for those who are not focused on obedience to God will not understand the riddle. And this is what comparing and agreeing. Turn now with me to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. And what we're going to see is in Luke chapter 20, verse 9 through 16, what Jesus said. Luke chapter 20, verse 9 through 16. And this is how Jesus could be considered giving a riddle to those that he was talking to. This is what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent servants to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. So that was more of a prophecy than a riddle, because Jesus gave them a better understanding. But that is what is for us to understand, my precious brothers and sisters, that today we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord, God, and Savior, as our Redeemer. And we, if we reject him, the end result will be destruction. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the Bible is full of mysteries. And the only way that you are going to solve these mysteries is through the understanding given to you through the Holy Spirit. We can go over what the Bible says time and time and time again. But if we don't have the belief, the faith required to understand God's mysteries, then we will just fall short of them, and we will also end up in that destruction that Jesus was talking about. Okay, let's go to the final instruction for tonight. We're going to go back to Ezekiel chapter 17, and we're going to hear more about this riddle. In fact, we're going to be looking at verse 19 through 24, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. The answer to the riddle of the eagle and cedar. All right. Ezekiel gave them an answer, and this is the answer he gave them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath that he hath despised and my covenant that he hath broken, even I will recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him for all his trespass that he hath trespassed against me. And all his fugitives with all his band shall fall by the sword. And they shall remain, shall be scattered toward all winds. And ye shall know that I, the Lord God, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will send it upon and plant it upon the high mountain and eminent in the mountain of the high of Israel, or the height of Israel, will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bring fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all the fowls of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thou shalt dwell, and the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it and have done it. Answer to the riddle is still prevalent today, my brothers and sisters, because Israel still has not responded to the Son of God. That is the answer that of the riddle of the eagle and the cedar. God is the one that has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now what I want you to do is go to back to Judges chapter 14. And we're going to see what Moses or what Samuel or Samson said in answer to the riddle for those that were with him at that time. This is what Samson said in Judges chapter 14, verse 15 through 19. He said, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire, and have ye call us to take that we have. Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and loves me not, that thou put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and has not told it to me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and he told her the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out the riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And he was angry, his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. So what Samson did was told the riddle, but it still did not benefit those that he told, that those that he told were cursed. Now, let's go to a New Testament compliment, and we're going to see what Jesus said about this in chapter 20, in verse 17 and 18. Chapter 20, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, and he held them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, and on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And he was telling those that he gave the parable to about the husbandman that he will be the one that they will be broken upon, and if he falls upon them, it would be ground the powder. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must rightfully divide the Bible in order to benefit from it. My brothers and sisters, we must rightfully divide the Bible in order to benefit from it. And now that completes the lesson for the evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement this evening. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.